Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Ready, Sam?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I feel almost.
Yeah,
I feel
whatever. I'm like actually so chill.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, podcast starts now.
Okay, podcast starts now.
It's, but it's not a big deal.
No, the podcast is officially started, but we're not stressing out about it. We're not putting too much weight on it. It's literally a podcast that just exists in a sea of other podcasts. It's totally fine.
Yeah, it actually will never get noticed.
You know, not to self-aggrandize, but I think we can push the limit on how long someone can produce a podcast on your own and have it be completely unnoticed by peers, friends, right, family, industry, other podcasters, completely under the radar.
It is very it's very that book, The Queer Art of Failure, which was a huge hit a few years ago. I never read it, but the title is very evocative. It's important to fail ironically.
Yes. Here's what I find so inspiring about the book industry. So many times there are huge hits that I've never heard of. I'm never going to pop open. And, you know, I'll buy, let's say, 2 books a year. And those are probably the hits from 5 years ago. And nevertheless, this industry just moves on without me. And I think that is so powerful and a lesson that we can all learn.
I don't want to call you out, but I do think if you're buying 2 books a year, it makes sense that you're kind of missing out on a lot of stuff.
Whoa. I'm being attacked. I carry the book industry on my back with those 2 books a year. Every author on earth has me to thank for their big home in the Hollywood Hills.
Well, there's a separate, there's a New York Times bestseller list, and then there's a list of the 2 books Sam buys a year. And that's kind of like the most, it's even more prestigious, in fact, than like a Pulitzer or even a MacArthur Genius Grant.
Yeah, because what that means is you're getting the common man. And right, that when you're winning the heart of a common man with taste, who has but pennies to his name to spend on these 2 books a year, and you win his heart,
yes,
then
and you
the
pay
heart
in all
America.
Pennies. And there's always a kind of a ceremony that happens at Union Hall or the Bell House or Littlefield, where, you know, an author like, let's say, Margaret Atwood will appear, and then, you know, like a Patty Harrison or a Julio Torres will kind of present the award and say, and this year Sam bought these two books. And then you will come out and normally you wear a gown, but it's funny. And then you give the award to Margaret Atwood.
She cries every year. It's always Margaret who gets it.
Right. And so that's the thing, is that you keep buying The Handmaid's Tale every single year, and you have all the editions.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you have the one with the TV show cover on it that says coming soon. You have the original one. You have kind of the British cover, which is a more kind of Art Deco vibe. You've never read it.
No.
But you have a bookcase that's all the different versions of The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, every year I buy the book and I say, you know, me spending this money on this book will inspire me to read it, because I hate to waste money. And every year it just doesn't quite get there. And so I buy it again next year and I say, let this inspire me.
Well, you buy it and then you look the cashier straight in the eyes and you say, support women. And then you go home and put it in the
bookshelf
with the rest of the books in the bookshelf. So I have been walking around all day today by myself. Okay. And when I walk around all day, I often gravitate towards thinking very conceptually. The conversation about the book industry reminded me of this. I have worked in three different industries in my life, and they are tech, academia, and the entertainment industry. All three of them you would think should expand the human experience in some way. You know, one, tech, you're building technologies. Academia, you're expanding knowledge. Entertainment, you're making art. And yet all three of them are kind of safe havens for people with narcissistic personality disorder. And so I'm wondering, and the book industry, it seems, you know, all it's doing is kind of making you go insane by purchasing the same book month after month. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, what is it that we can do to restructure the world so that so that people have the right incentives to move forward?
I guess I'm confused on the question. Not to, you
and
know,
I knew
make
you
it
wouldn't
overly...
be. So should we bring in our guests?
Well, I just don't feel like we can move on immediately after saying I'm confused. I think we should at least try to sort of understand where you're coming from. I want you to feel heard. I want you to feel understood.
Do you know when you like have a thought to yourself and you think it's so brilliant because you're walking kind of alone on a street?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. And I thought maybe it would lead to something if I said that loud.
Well, okay, wait. So your question is that you want books to be more narcissistic, or you want more like, okay, say the question again.
I'm like,
do Jeremy and Rajat get it? Do they
actually totally understand.
Really
brilliant.
I think it's a really good question.
So
can you guys explain?
What is it, do you think, that when you're reading a book, when you're in academia, that you think it could be when it does become more
a technology?
The technology?
Kind of more
and
of a
is it more of, so the question then it leaves you with is it more of the technology, or when you're reading a book, is it more that you are walking around in your mm-hmm. thoughts? Sort of consuming, or is it more a question of how do we make this readable to the general public?
Does that make sense?
So you're saying, how can we make books popular?
So it's like, if you know, a book is a technology, a book is a technology. When you read it, you say, oh, I'm walking on the street.
Exactly.
Yep.
George got it. Sam, so, I don't
George's
know how you're
question.
Not picking up on this.
It's George's question.
When you're
understand.
Reading a book,
okay.
No,
okay.
It's
when you're reading a book.
When you're reading a book, that's a form of technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, your eye, your eye is the human brain. It all connects in a way where once you read the book, you are already taking a walk.
So the book is the walk.
Well, it's kind of the opposite of that. The book isn't the walk until the technology exists to make it the walk. But the limits of how these industries work preclude that ever happening.
I actually feel insane. I'm really trying to understand what you're saying.
So, Jeremy, do
it's
you
super
wanna...
clear to me. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't feel like I should have to explain this, but
yeah, it should be like just common sense. I feel that
how many books basically, and like, this is a really reductive version of this very sort of layered question that George was trying to ask, but how many books when you're walking does it take for technology to become more of a walking sort of
exactly.
technology book?
Exactly.
Or is it more of a question of what Rajat was getting at?
And is it
when
like,
you're walking
right
to the technology, are you at school?
Yeah. Well, you bring in, and that's the thing is
that's what you bring to it.
And you brought like the school thing touches on the academia element of the original question,
right?
Because I think Jeremy did such a good job of explaining in the beginning, he lost that one part, which then you brought in. And if I could add, you know, the third part of it, you know, the three things I mentioned were academia, tech, and entertainment. So you're taking a walk, the technology is the book, but also you, the connection between the two is school, but then all of that is art.
Yes.
Oh,
bingo.
Sam, what do you think?
I think, you know, I feel left out. Right. I feel made fun of. I feel disregarded. I feel, I'm sort of the forgotten man. I'm the lost generation. I'm a wanderer.
That's the first step.
And a wanderer is someone in search of knowledge through technology on a walk.
Exactly.
There you go. Okay.
Those who wander are not lost. They are technology books.
And with that, I think maybe we should introduce our guests today. Is that okay?
I sense fear.
From me?
Yeah.
If I can be completely honest, I do have a sense of fear today.
Yeah, I sensed it, as forementioned.
And I don't know why. I haven't quite unpacked it. I'm not a therapist, for Christ's sake. I'm just one man with a mirror.
No, therapy is not one of the three prongs of my theory.
No. So, you know, I think the best thing to do is face your fears and bring in our guests officially. Who for some reason I am afraid of today. Please.
I do want to say before you continue.
Yep.
This obsession with putting labels on things. Like I feel like I'm already in conversation with both our guests. To now backtrack and do an intro seems so conservative politically.
And yet I feel like it's so natural. And even the way that the guests sort of stopped talking, almost as if on cue, it just feels like this is sort of how the conversation wants to work.
Yeah. Well, the cue was you saying you were going to introduce them, which you did after cutting them off.
Are we going to get introduced or?
Oh, yeah. And I do agree. It did feel sort of conservative politically and almost reactionary.
Yeah. I would say
it felt very politically reactionary.
Well, that's weird. I just feel like in a healthy sort of podcast, there can be some liberal structures and there can be some conservative structures,
right.
And so that can make for a really healthy.
And then you find common ground.
Yeah.
You're more, you're
Neolips
kind of reaching
what?
Across the aisle.
Yes. That's good. Damn. That's good.
Right. So, in healthy, you know, healthy, pretty prescriptive word. I mean, you know, it's very like, what's, you know, be normal.
Well, sure.
Yes.
Look, I'm not telling anyone
out of the
normal.
Neoliberal textbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very.
Wait, did you hear that?
What?
They did it again. They naturally could feel that we were going to introduce them, and they got quiet.
I can sense that it's coming, so I feel like I should give it some space right before.
It's going to be such a big moment when we get introduced.
I just think, I think sometimes you ignore sort of the natural.
Oh.
Flows that the podcast makes, and all I'm trying to do is give respect to that structure and that it's sort of a chicken or the egg. We don't know which came first, the podcast structure or sort of like
disrupting the podcast structure.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
I just think that both the natural and unnatural can exist together.
Finally, we're getting to a progressive place.
There we go. This is liberal owns conservative reactionary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's introduce our guests. So today we have two hilarious comedians.
Two awesome sauce guys that are rocking the comedy landscape.
These guys, God, I mean, they're going to be fucking huge.
I mean, fuck. When I saw these guys, I said, damn, that's freaking comedy. And it's actually punk rock. And it is so, so now.
I heard them on Comedy Bang Bang playing the Sklar Brothers in a sketch about healthcare. And it actually changed my mind on the issue. And now I don't no longer support single payer.
These guys, when they did Fallon, you know, say what you will about sort of, you know, the way they performed. Obviously, there's room for critique.
Yeah, the way they performed was not good.
But it sort of, it changed the game. And you can't argue it didn't change the game.
It changed the game in a bad way.
Yeah, the game is worse. It's not fun to play anymore.
The game is worse.
Anyway, please welcome to the podcast Jeremy Levick and Rajat Saraj.
Thank you so much.
Hey, oh my gosh. Wow.
And thank you for not mentioning our Kimmel appearance where we dressed up as Jimmy Kimmel and talked about and cried about healthcare.
We cried about his son. We were two Jimmy Kimmels and we both cried about our son.
Yeah, and you did that like literally the day after he cried about his son, so it felt a little too soon. If you don't mind me saying,
it did feel too soon.
We wrote that before he did his speech. We just thought it'd be funny if he was crying about his son,
right? So it's parallel thought.
Or did he steal it from you?
Probably that.
I think he stole it from us. Yeah,
but he's a great guy.
No, he's not.
He's always been really nice to me.
Yeah, he's super nice to me.
Okay. Yeah, he actually cried about me.
Enabler once. Says what?
Yes. That's good. My new thing. That's good.
That's my new thing.
Damn. Yeah. That's really good. I actually think we should, somebody should be keeping score of who's getting owned and how many times.
Once again, trying to place a regimented framework on something so natural and free.
Oh my God. Is it that wrong to try to, I don't know, create a data set or something?
Yeah.
So, well, who are you selling it to? Sorry. Big Pharma?
What if John, I did?
This is the part where we get quiet again.
Oh, we're going to get introduced again. I feel an introduction coming, so I'm going to.
So if you guys were running the podcast, what would you do differently?
Yeah, give us your notes.
Rajat, what would you do?
Scared.
It would be like the opposite of what you guys are doing, where you both have
total opposite.
You both are sort of insisting on your point of view, and then Rajat and my podcast would be like, "Do you want to go?" And then it'd be quiet, and then the other person would say, "Duh, you can go first." So maybe
guests would be talking the whole time. Yeah, and
you guys should try being timid. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, we could restart and sort of try it that way.
I guess we can do that.
Yeah, let's just scrap what we've done and start it. This is
sweet.
We'll start it your way.
Yeah, so, cool.
You go.
Oh, wait, no, Sam, sorry.
Sorry. Did you have anything you want to talk about today, George?
No, I just would prefer to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, I have something, but it's not very good if you want to start.
No, I bet what you have is like really good. And I kind of feel insecure about what
I think that you have such an amazing, powerful point of view. And like, you worked in like tech and like, and like, you were like,
see, how this nice did awesome. That feel? That
this is amazing.
It's electric.
I gotta be honest, guys, that podcast kind of sucked.
You guys were getting along better, though.
I love hearing how good you guys are getting along.
Yeah, it definitely was not as good, but it was
no
copacetic in a way that I really.
But
liked.
You guys were just bouncing off each other, just
so
playing
polite.
Off each other's energies. So nice to each other.
One of the most polite podcasts I've ever heard.
It did bring up an interesting point, which is it's okay when George says he works in tech, but when I say George works in tech, it's a slur.
Well, I just thought, I felt before when I was telling my story about how I realized everything is connected and reached the singularity mentally, I said, you know, in my past that I worked in tech, and to me, that's part of my backstory that everyone is obsessed with. All my fans constantly talk about how I used to work in tech. And I could immediately see you roll your eyes, which I did not expect. And that's actually what threw me off and made me so inarticulate when describing the realizations I came to on my walk.
Well, I just thought it was funny. And again, guests, we'll introduce you in a bit.
Be quiet for now.
But I did think it was funny to say tech, academia, and entertainment. I felt like that was such a toxic string of things to say that you... to describe your past, and I thought it was so funny, and it made me see the we are so different, and yet we host a podcast.
Right. Well, not everyone can have a history where they've worked in tech, academia, and entertainment.
Well, because Sam comes from more of a background of like Amish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're using an Amish microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a name of a sex act.
Amish microphone.
Amish microphone. Doesn't that sound like a sex act?
Jeremy, come on, man.
Sorry.
Jeremy, now you're being reactionary.
I'm sorry.
So
Jeremy, come on. We can push him left. We can push Jeremy left.
And is it even worth it to try to push Jeremy left?
I think it's a waste of energy.
This is the debate.
Yeah.
Well, among the two of you, I know, you know, Jeremy is the right wing one. Like, how do you guys navigate?
Well, look, I've got our donors' interests in mind.
Right.
And like, those are just the people. When they come around and they're like, do you want to have lunch? Like, I'm going to make room for them in my schedule. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm.
I have principles, but I mean, yeah, the principles bend to the donor's interests. So I don't know how you don't get that. Why don't you, like, you should be able.
So me? Both of you actually have been to the donor's interests.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we get both sides of the spectrum.
Oh,
we're on the right and the left of the right.
The donors. Yeah, right.
Okay, so one of you is kind of a never Trumper Lincoln Project type conservative.
Yes.
The other one is, you know, all in on Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Totally.
Yes.
Well, we both voted for Trump. But,
right. Well, of course, you have to find common ground somewhere.
Of course.
Yeah. Like today.
Oh.
Yeah.
You voted for Trump today?
We voted late.
We just voted for him.
We got to the polls late.
Damn. Yeah. Well, how were the lines?
Pretty long, actually.
Kind of long, yeah. Lots of people are voting late.
Pretty long.
Yeah.
Well, you
there's
know,
a late.
People...
You, there's like early voting, and then there's regular day voting, and then there's late
and
voting.
There's late. Yeah.
And late voting has actually been extended indefinitely.
Yeah, it's rolling.
Yeah,
it's on a rolling basis. Yeah, yeah. I'm actually. Like I just voted for the 1992 election recently.
Oh,
who'd you vote for?
Dukakis.
Wow. Cool.
Nice. Sauce.
Yeah.
I hope he gets it.
I do too, but I mean, you know, you never know with the media climate.
Oh my gosh. And back then, the media climate.
Well, back then, now, in the future. Mm-hmm. What's nice about late voting is that you can actually choose which media climate you're voting in.
Did you like the way that he was portrayed in Donnie Darko?
Dukakis?
Yeah. You didn't know that he's a part of Donnie Darko?
I was a producer on that film, so I can't be objective. I had a lot of issues with how they handled it creatively, but I ultimately stand behind it, and I think like, you know, the film speaks for itself.
Okay.
We're producers on other stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway.
No follow-up questions.
Well, everyone here is has produced.
George, I just wanted to share this anecdote.
Okay. All right.
We're talking about books.
Do your thing, I guess.
Talking about
really
books earlier.
Yeah, books.
Well, I just wanted to like bring it up before we're past it. We both were at a birthday party like maybe a year and a half
ago. Right, yeah.
And Sally Rooney was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing with that birthday party. First of all, it was our last, for me at least, I think probably for you too, like the last big party before COVID.
Yes.
Like I very distinctly remember it as the last big gathering. And truly, like maybe the next day things started shutting down, or maybe in the next couple of days. There were so many it girls at that party.
Yeah. It was a little bit stressful.
So Sally Rooney was a huge one. Tavi Gevinson was another huge one.
Who's that?
Tavi Gevinson like founded Rookie Magazine and was also in like, you know, was
he dated
an actress,
Ezra Koenig.
Dated Ezra Koenig was okay. Also
she
in.
She did the big Britney Spears piece recently, right?
Yeah, yeah. She wrote about Britney recently.
Everybody knows this it girl except for me.
That's right.
And then
she's
the third
all
one,
the rage.
Right. And then the third one, which I've talked about on this podcast, was Hari Neff. So it was just it girls wall to wall.
I mean, only in New York, am I right?
And I will also say yes. Rachel Sennett was there, but I don't know if is she an it? She's now an it girl.
She's definitely now
she's
an
it girl now.
I would say then she was an it girl
rising.
It Girl Rising. Yeah. And actually, It Girl Rising is her new memoir.
That's beautiful.
Right.
It's really good.
Do you think COVID happened because so many It Girls were at the same space that the universe kind of combusted?
Yeah. You all played God.
It's actually
people are saying that it was like there was an It Girl party in China. That's what a lot of people think it was curated there. Like a lot of fucked up like right wingers.
It was like a lab in China that they like
made
it girls.
They like sent a bunch of it girls to the United States.
Oh, I see.
As like political warfare.
So it girls right. Well, a lot of people talk about how the concept of an it girl is it is human warfare.
It's biological warfare
from country
it
to
is
country.
Yeah, it's
I was telling everyone, I was like, I saw all the it girls in one room. I was like, this is dangerous, we got to get them in separate rooms in case something happens. Like there shouldn't be two of them on the same plane ever.
It's true.
It's like you gotta split them up.
It's the same thing happened in the 90s when Parker Posey and Chloe Sevigny became friends. That's when the Gulf War ended.
And you wanted to keep going.
You wanted to keep going. I was always a fan of the Gulf War.
Who is it?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it was a classic.
Who doesn't love the Gulf?
Right. So
you get to have a war
on the Gulf. How fun.
I know. It's, you know, it's a very seaside. I don't know. To me, it's, you know, it's very LA. It's
if
very...
you're gonna have a war, have it be seaside. At least.
I mean, because who could forget D-Day?
No one talks about it. D-Day was like,
it was on the beach.
Part of it was really fun. Like when they stormed the beaches, like for the first 5 seconds, they were like smiling and like a few of them splashed each other. Like,
they were like, before they went into the water, they were like, is anyone else going to go into the water? Do you guys want to go swim?
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah, it started out as just them wanting to go swimming.
Yeah.
Right.
They were so close to shore that they were like, well, what if we just hop out and swim to shore? Because that could be
kind of
fun.
It's like we've been on this fucking boat forever.
Totally. You know. And they could have just taken a plane to like the airport and then started from there and did the war from there.
Right.
But they were like, let's make a day of it. Like, let's splash around in the pool or the ocean or whatever it is.
What a lot of people don't know is D-Day was actually in a pool, but when they shoot it, they make it look like it was the ocean. But
they were all kind of like inflatable unicorns and flamingos.
Yeah.
Splashing around.
No, it's like it has to do with how they shot it. You're right. It's like the forced perspective.
Yeah. Well, the thing with D-Day is like, it's very DC universe. Like they went dark with it. You know, they went like, this is like black and white. It's Zack Snyder.
It's gritty. There's mud.
It was very Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah.
Whereas normally D-Day, if you had done it right, would have been kind of that one other Marvel movie where there was a raccoon and Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 70s music or cool music in the background, like rock and roll.
Totally.
And like your friends are burying each other, but in a nice way, in a fun way.
And there are quips, like all of them. It's like one of the soldiers looks out and is like, okay, guess we're doing this. Like, and then the other one is like, guess we're doing this.
Oh, so a talking raccoon now. Okay, that's okay. So this is my day now.
And actually a lot of people this has been written about, but you know, the last word of the last person on D-Day was, so I guess that's a thing.
That's history. People think history is not fun, and it's like so fun to learn about this stuff. Like, It just is so awesome.
It's funny.
Sam,
all the quips.
Sam, I didn't know you were like an academia head. Like, I really thought that was more of a George thing, but yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, mostly history, specifically. Okay. Just, and you know, I don't take pride in it, but it's just
knowledge. No one should take pride in having knowledge.
No.
Speaking of which, should we do our first segment, Sam?
Oh my God. I forgot we were doing a podcast.
Right. AOL.
Yeah. Well, and you know, as the debate rages on, we do have to point out that that's very conservative of you to sort of stick to that structure.
Are you guys going to introduce us? Or should...
Rajat, say, just lay low in the cut.
Sorry.
So I think we're going to do our first segment just to sort of move on from...
Today, we have two such funny comedians.
These guys are sort of changing the game. When they broke onto the scene, I said, wow, this is comedy.
When they splashed onto the scene, I said, well, I guess I'll retire now.
You know, when I first heard them do sort of their folk duo shtick, I said, okay, I guess I'm fucking out of a job.
Please welcome Garfunkel and Oates.
Hi, I'm Kate Micucci.
Hi, I'm Oates. I don't...
Wait,
Garfunkel?
I forgot her name. Fuck.
Ah, fuck.
I don't know
the other one. Yeah. Sorry.
Jermaine, that's the other one.
Yeah, Jermaine. All
right.
Jermaine Clement.
Okay, let's do our first segment. George, will you explain it?
So in this first segment, this is a podcast in theory about straight culture, but in practice about each of us uncovering new layers of our psyches day by day, but also putting more layers on top of those layers. So the first segment is called Straight Shooters, and in this segment, we give you a series of rapid-fire questions where we give you two straight things and you just have to gravitate towards one. There's not that much logic to it, and you're not allowed to ask any follow-up questions. You just have to you just have to really pick one.
Does that make sense?
It's kind of one thing or another thing.
What I'm about to do is not ask a follow-up question. I'm going to make a statement right now.
Okay.
I'm curious whether Rajat and I should have separate answers or the same answer.
Curious about that as well.
Yeah. No, I'm also curious about it. So should we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Awesome statement.
Thank you.
That's a good statement.
Oh, we'll start out easy. Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Plastic.
Oh, you guys are supposed to answer together.
Yeah.
Oh, Rajat.
Come on.
Thought that was obvious.
Paper. No. Paper.
Okay. The next one. Selfie stick or self suck?
Rajat, suck. Go ahead.
Suck.
The two genders or the three musketeers?
Three musketeers.
The three musketeers.
Hmm. Rajat, is that really what you wanted to answer, or?
Yeah, no.
Yeah or no?
Yeah. Jeremy, is that what I wanted to answer? That's what I wanted to answer.
Say yes.
Oh, interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, duvet cover or a buble cover?
Buble. Don't say boob for sure.
All right.
Jack, come on. We're guests.
Sorry.
Downward-facing dog or south-facing bay windows?
South-facing bay windows.
Rajat, do you feel like you can't answer first?
South-facing bay windows.
Got it.
Okay.
Next.
Film, cinema, flicks, or talkies?
So there are, four possibilities here?
Is that a statement?
There
are four possibilities
there
here.
There are four possibilities
period.
Here.
Period.
Correct.
Period.
And please list them again.
Film, cinema, flicks, or talkies?
Oh, I was imagining talkies, the food.
That's tacos.
All right.
Sorry. I never know how to pronounce that.
So does anyone Rashad, have
you go ahead.
I'm going tacos. With tacos.
When we have to tacos. Answer a question, like that's when Rajat and I are at our worst.
Got it.
Is when we're answering a question. So I'm just explaining why this is going poorly for us.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
You... I think it's going pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it depends what
your criteria are.
I think that's a good way to describe this whole episode so far, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question. Noam Chomsky or Nikki Blonsky?
I don't know who Nikki Blonsky is.
She's the star of the movie Hairspray.
The movie version of Hairspray.
The movie version of the musical version of the movie Hairspray.
With John Travolta.
Yeah, John Travolta plays her mom, but don't read too much into it.
He's not gay, guys.
Yeah, he's not gay. Stop being weird about it.
Stop accusing him of something like that.
Sorry.
I just want to say, John, like,
Jeremy,
he's not,
man.
I didn't, I respect
Jeremy.
Jeremy,
cool it.
Like, I know a lot of, you know, you're kind of a shock jock provocateur, but like, to me, I draw the line at people saying John Travolta's gay.
It's just not right to ruin a man's reputation like that.
I just think that when he said, it just was when he said Adele Dazeem, I was like, he's being really gay.
You said he's being really gay. I remember. We were actually watching that together.
Yeah.
And you turned to me and you said, that's so gay.
Wait. And then Hari Neff turned to you and said, it is. Because you guys were surrounded by it girls.
Yeah, right. So there have to be, usually when Jeremy and I are together, there are at least 3 to 4 it girls around.
Yeah, we got our arms around them.
Yeah, but each of us actually have our arms around 2 it girls.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy goes, that's so gay. And then the 2 it girls together say, totally, sweetie.
So true.
Yeah, they just say, they like, or the yes me and stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually a really daddy. Toxic
dynamic. Yeah, they call you daddy.
Yeah, it's like it's like I'm the first to admit it. It's very problematic.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you with it girls on your lap, and they say daddy. No. Who's gay and who's not?
No, you haven't seen that. He's lying.
It's this really toxic thing where the it girls ask you, "Daddy, tell me who's gay," and then you say, "Oh, John Travolta."
I mean, look at the way he said it.
So messed up.
Yeah.
Well, and it's tough because you don't even want it anymore, but you just like created this persona that now people expect it from you.
They think I know.
Yeah,
I,
you're kind of like this weird alt Hugh Hefner where like the it girls are always asking you ironically funny questions and, you know, kind of jumping up and down on a bed and being like, daddy, daddy, who's gay?
Yeah, no, I have like an ironic Playboy house, like a whole mansion. With all these girls are like, listening to Ryan Scare together.
Alt comedy it girls, each one of them, you know, they kind of are wearing ironic outfits and they're wearing like a little t-shirt that says like fart on it. And instead of Playboy ears, they have just like really large moose antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They say the R word.
Yeah, they say the R word. And then you have these... You have these parties like Playboy Mansion parties.
I don't say it.
You know.
Yeah, you're pretty principled about that kind of thing.
But you kick them out if they don't say it.
Yes.
And then you have these ironic Playboy Mansion parties that are all kind of, it's like Howard Stern and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel.
And Anna and Asha.
Carola. Who?
Yes.
Asha's there.
Oh, I thought you said Anna de Armas.
Anna de Armas is
she could come, but she doesn't want to say
Armas
the R word.
She's been invited. The it girl. She's one of the it girls with the moose ears that you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
She broke up with Ben Affleck to join the antler squad.
Do you guys want to know something crazy?
Yeah.
I have like one more of these stupid questions.
Oh, sorry.
Isn't that insane to be like I could have easily just been like, we're just going to move on.
No, that's an example
but you're like,
of doing the natural thing.
This is conservative. Or no, progressive.
That's reactionary.
I love to hear it.
Well, I just think now it's like going to be so weird when I say it. And like, it like makes sense when
No, come on, Sam.
But like we were doing them all in like a line and like it makes sense sort of like there's
and
like
now
rhythm
you're
going to
ask a question it's going
to
be like yeah it's going to be weird, and I'm going to have to reorient and be like, oh yeah, that's like, oh, like,
yeah, it was going so naturally and we were flowing so hard. We were answering those questions and you kind of fucked us up right there, I will say.
Yeah. But so just to promise you won't make fun of me after I say it.
Okay. Okay. I won't.
Okay. Your final question is Michael Barbaro or a bicycle on the Triborough Bridge?
That's the question?
I think
that's the question. No.
Hey,
it's
not
worth it. You promised.
I mean, I'm mad.
You guys
don't
keep promises.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, Sam and I have had our differences this episode, but I really don't like it when you guys make fun of him. He's actually like a really good friend of mine, and we've been doing this podcast together now for a really long time. I mean, I kind of thought that you'd both come on and be respectful. Jeremy, I know your reputation. I know that you're surrounded by alt it girls.
Ironically.
Forced to say slurs. But I just thought maybe, you know, this would, you know, we could have a respectful and fun time.
No, yeah, we didn't know that you guys were good friends. Oh, so that actually changes a lot.
I'm sorry. I would never want to hurt a friendship.
Yeah, I can vouch for Sam. He's like a good guy.
Wow. Okay. Sam, how did that make you feel to hear that?
It makes me feel so good. George, you know, I know that whenever we have guests on here, you're always like the cool, really chill, like one. And I'm sort of like this little brother, like tagging along. And for you to like stick up for me in this way, like publicly, it's like huge. It's so cool. And I hope that other cool, popular guys out there know that they can stick up for the little guy.
Yeah. Well, empathy is something I learned when working in tech. And, you know, it's something that never leaves you.
Totally.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, a tricycle on the
Michael Barbaro Bridge. On the Barbaro Bridge. Yeah, no, totally. Good question and all.
you guys brought if not a topic, then something that you wanted to share with us.
Oh yeah, Rajan has a theory that flaccid penis is gay and hard penis is straight.
This is Jeremy's theory. That's Jeremy's theory.
Wait, I love this. Wait, is this a real theory?
So yeah, flaccid is gay and erect is straight.
No, I'm sorry. No, his theory is the opposite. No,
we're on different.
That's what he thinks. I think flaccid penis is straight and hard penis is gay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Just to be clear, you both agree about it, or one of you thinks flaccid is?
We're on opposite sides of this issue. We're very. This is a big wedge.
Just in case,
our relationship.
Basically, just in case one of them is like a problematic,
it's super messed up.
Yeah,
like the other one. We're just each gonna stake out one side so that one of us is like not.
Okay.
Canceled.
Well, I think maybe we should just start, you know, with opening statements. So, Sam, you can choose which one of them goes first.
You know, this decision has been weighing on me all afternoon.
Same.
I've been thinking, you know, who among them can share their case first. You know, the timing, the order can affect the audience's understanding of the argument. And so if I pick wrong, it could mean that hard penises are gay and soft penises are straight, or vice versa. I'm going to go with Rajat.
Okay.
All right. Well, so we all know that, I mean, hard penises, otherwise known as, George, you were in academia. It's otherwise known as a boner.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's gay. I'm on the side of that I'm on the side of that straight. Because a boner is straight.
Literal.
That's a literal interpretation.
It's called a boner or erect penis.
Uh-huh.
Those are the two.
Rajat, no using Google right now. It's cheating.
It's called, well,
I
it's
just,
actually
I
pretty
say,
interesting.
Rajat, you know, So far, this argument is very, you know, Webster Dictionary defines erect penis as XYZ.
So a penis, this is actually a part of my kind of argument. And it's that, do you guys know the penis is the male genital organ of higher vertebrates carrying the duct for the transfer of sperm during copulation?
Yeah, you're right. That does sound more straight.
Yeah, well, already you're bringing reproduction into it.
In humans and most other mammals, it consists largely of erectile tissue and serves also for the elimination of urine. I don't know if that helps.
The elimination of urine?
Totally.
Hmm. Wow. It's like urine town.
So true.
You could say.
Jeremy, I'd love to hear sort of your counter argument.
I think...
So that was the end of Rajat.
That's how I'd like to close out with that.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I think Rajat's argument has merit. However, I think that if it's like flaccid, it's like, that's kind of just like the vibe, like straight people kind of have that vibe a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of like,
they're like chilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think straight people are chill and gay people are like, is that what you're, is that what you're trying to say?
Not what I'm trying to say.
I don't know about that, but I was on the other side of that. I wanted to kind of reiterate.
You think straight people are chill and gay people are not
hard.
Hard.
Well, not hard, but excited.
Excited.
Or not necessarily. Excited. Like
Turned
they're all in they any kind
gay
of way.
Gay people
not...
are excited and straight people are laid back.
That's what Jeremy thinks. No. Just, okay. I'm on the other side of that.
I actually think it's like problematic to even think about it in those terms. Oh. And I think that straight people and gay people can be all kinds of ways at any time they want.
Okay.
Well, but for the sake of this argument, but you're arguing that flaccid is straight and erect is gay.
No, for the sake of this argument, that is what I'm saying. Yeah.
So basically, this is a bit of a cop-out to me in that you're saying, you know, anyone can be whoever they want, but I am going through the motions of arguing something for the sake of this debate.
Yeah, I guess, basically I tried to, like, put Rajat in a hole, and then I put myself in a hole, and now I don't want to be making this argument.
Huh.
But here I am.
I see. So you don't, you thought, okay, we're going to respond well to you saying erect is gay, because of course erect inherently is
the penis.
We all have more positive associations with erect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you were trying to pander to us by saying erect is gay.
I guess I was just hoping that whoever went first.
Right.
Huh.
Would be just like wrong. I thought it was an unwinnable argument.
Yeah, yeah. But then,
so I kind of was hoping
I kind of knocked it out of the park with my dictionary.
I know, dictionary. I was not expecting.
You should bring a dictionary next time.
Yeah,
Jeremy, I am confused. I guess. In the sense that, you know, yes, you were throwing your friend under the bus, but. You also, you knew you were going to have to speak on this topic. So
I know. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just kind of confused as to why this would only affect Rajat and not also you.
Right. I guess it's lack of foresight. And I was just kicking the can down the road. And I was like, maybe I'll think of something smart. Like
it's truly like the confidence. I would say I would go so far as to call it toxic male confidence that you thought
I would say that too.
That you really thought that without doing any research, coming completely unprepared, that that Rajat would be so bad at arguing that erect is straight and flaccid is gay that all you would have to do is kind of be like, well, mic drop.
Yeah.
And then I come in here and I own you with my dictionary. Again, I want to bring up the dictionary.
The dictionary a bit crushed. And it avoided the topic and, you know, added something, a new element.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Rajat, I just want to say, you know, it really means a lot that you came in prepared.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Had done your research. And to be honest, at first I was skeptical of the argument that erect is straight and flaccid is gay. I think I like to think of myself as more of an erect than a flaccid person. But I'm convinced.
Interesting. I think I'm wondering, are you, George, the erect and I'm the flaccid?
Well, we're both gay.
Right.
So that throws a wrench in the idea that one of us is one and one is the other, when the argument of this debate is whether one is gay and one is straight. We're either both flaccid or both erect.
Huh. I guess I'm trying to change the game a little and make it.
Maybe let's give them a second chance and have them argue which one of us is erect and which one of us is flaccid.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I want to give Jeremy a second chance. And in fact, Jeremy, you can go first now and you can choose which, which side you're arguing for. So you have to choose which one is Sam and which one is me.
Uh-huh. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. And I would have to say, let's see.
Oh, and now he's trying to use the dictionary.
Oh, it's already been done.
Oh, my God. He's searching erect. So sad.
He's like literally Googling like flaccid Sam Taggart, hoping something comes up that would be funny.
Oh, no. He's not finding anything.
Oh, my God. He can't even use Google right.
Oh, my God. Hang on. I just got to send an email real quick.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. For the listeners at home, you should know that both Jeremy and Rajat's screens are lighting up on their glasses. They are frantically searching the screen. I don't know what the end game is.
Just hold on.
They look like they're esports players.
Yeah, they look like they're like hacking into a system. And I actually don't know the end goal. I think maybe they're missing the point. Which sort of is to talk on the podcast and they're sort of getting lost in this searching on the screen type of thing.
Oh no. Okay. Well, so here's what happened. So I just got an email from Jeremy.
Nuh-uh.
I got an email from Jeremy and it says, "Hey, are you more flaccid or erect?"
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I got an email from Jeremy that says, "Hey, are you more flaccid or erect?"
Oh no.
I just like, it's confusing to me because we are judging this debate. Like, we're not going to give you the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Totally. That makes sense. Sam, don't check your email, by the way.
Oh, no.
Did you get one too, Sam?
I got one too. I mean, it's polite. It starts with A.
Well, should we both reply and then see what comes out of that?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, wait, I just got an email from
Rajat. That's mainly research.
Yeah, I got that one. That felt like more of like a bibliography.
So Rajat just sent us a diagram, a medical diagram of a flaccid penis and an erect penis. It looks like Rajat at least was honest enough to send it to all three of the rest of us.
Yeah, it was nice.
So he's not going behind anyone's back. So I do want to say, so far in this part of the debate, I still think Rajat is winning because he wasn't trying to be secretive.
Shit. Yeah. No, that makes
sense. Was more like hard facts. It's like hard facts. Kind
of. He's coming at it from a science perspective and he believes science. Yeah.
I'm going to reply to Jeremy right now.
I replied already. This.
You refreshing the page over and over again, Jeremy?
All right, so I think that George is more flaccid,
and Sam is more erect.
Of the erect, more of the boner. Yeah,
interesting.
More of the boner.
More of the boner, kind of.
See,
do you want to like argue academia. For that?
Or? Yeah, is there any reasoning behind it? Or?
Well, I have some evidence that maybe is not like I can't use, but I have a source that did tell me that George. Is flaccid.
And do you have a source that told you Sam is erect?
No.
So you're just sort of making up information. Because you're not even getting sources for all of it.
I think I read it on Vulture.
Well, so, I mean, God, I tried to get that scrubbed off the internet. I did give an interview with Vulture where I said I was flaccid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to do this kind of very high-minded bit but it actually came across, you know, when you read it, you don't get my tone. So I'm just very matter-of-factly saying I am flaccid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to imagine like how the tone could change help. That.
Well, I was doing a little dance that I was like, I'm flaccid.
Oh. Yeah,
and but oh, it didn't. That's, it was just
tone
like,
does help.
Yeah.
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 Because when you said that in the interview, like I was sort of imagining the Ellen cover and it's like, yep, I'm flaccid. I thought it was like, like sort of a big deal.
Right, right.
And so when
well that's
when I
what
read
happened
that.
I was on the cover of it was the only time Vulture ever had a physical issue. They actually sent a magazine to everyone in the country and it was Vulture magazine, and it was a photo of me on the cover and it said, yep, I'm flaccid. And then in the little sidebar it was like, plus Rachel Sennett, It Girl Rising, you know.
That said, I did read a pretty convincing piece by Seth Simons after that, that like was more of an in-depth investigation and
into whether or not you were flaccid.
Yeah,
there's some like you are pretty interesting points. The idea that George is hard, right? And not flaccid.
Well, Seth, yeah, Seth has always said he thinks I'm hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he, and you know, I mean, he did do the work. He interviewed a lot of people.
Poehler like had a lot to say about.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
This, which I was like, I don't know why she would know.
Yeah, that seemed weird to me because I've never met her. Rajat, any rebuttal?
I have a lot to say. I think there's merit to Jeremy's viewpoint, but I think both of you guys have a little bulge.
Huh.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what I think.
Okay. So flaccid.
But
well,
a little
bulge.
Oh, you mean like a
a little bulge.
Like
we're both like half
erect.
Yeah. Okay.
You think we're both half erect?
That's you guys. I think we can all agree that you guys come together at the bulge, at the little half erection.
Hmm.
Huh?
That's where you guys come together.
Man, I thought it'd be nice to see you fail, and now it's it's uncomfortable.
You still have never seen me fail.
That defense.
You still have never seen me fail.
Wow,
Sam, how would you say this is? Like, what are your thoughts?
I am so curious as to what the critical and audience reception of this particular episode will be. I personally,
Sam's always thinking about the numbers.
I'm a numbers guy. Data set.
That's pretty boner. That's boner.
That's boner.
Oh,
I think we're past that.
You think numbers are boner?
No. This is where we differ because I'm always just crunching the numbers and trying to figure out who's boner, who's flaccid.
Yeah, I think we're past that section.
So Jeremy, you want to move past boner versus flaccid and
uh-huh.
Yeah.
I do think we were, you know, I'm almost team I hate to say it, but I'm almost team Jeremy on this one. I felt as though we had sort of moved on. There was and here we go again.
Yeah,
there
totally.
Was sort of a natural break and
I was so ready to go back into boner versus flaccid.
I feel like the
episode was going well until that point, and then
it went
south.
So it was erect and then it got flaccid, would you say?
There we go.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of
I disagree with that because that implies that the flaccid is bad.
Well, is it or not?
I don't think it is.
You're kind of like, you just think flaccid and erect are equally good.
Yeah, they're just different.
I think they're for different times.
Yeah.
No.
If you were erect all the time, it would be horrible.
Right.
And if you were flaccid all the time, it would be horrible.
Okay.
It might be nice. We haven't tried.
Yeah,
I haven't tried
either of those options. I mean, I'm currently sometimes erect, sometimes flaccid, and I'm certainly not like over the moon happy.
Yep.
But
maybe
it's,
the solution
not,
is being one or the other.
Yep. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn. Whew. Well, do we think we got to the bottom of it?
I don't know. I mean, so you're Sam, you're team Jeremy?
In the sense that I felt like we had moved on. Yes.
Well, no, now we've moved on from debating whether we've moved on.
Well, I don't believe that because the debate rages on.
Should we have opening arguments?
No. Okay. That. So Sam and I are going to now debate on whether we've moved on from the boner versus flaccid argument.
Wait. I want to go back. I want. George.
Someone hasn't moved on.
George, how do you? I want to go back a little. George, how do you feel about everything going on right now?
Listen, if you'd asked me before this, what's good and what's bad, I would have said erect is good, flaccid is bad. But the combination of Rajat's scientific inquiry, Jeremy's more social sciences, survey-based work, and then both of them together doing the, I think they really brought together the three pillars, which is tech, academia, and entertainment. And all of that together has made me completely rethink from the bottom up my entire thoughts on erect versus flaccid, to the point where at this point I'm thinking like I'm gonna try doing activities with the opposite thing that I normally do. So I'll try sex with a flaccid penis and then running errands with a fully erect one to see if maybe switching things up will rewire my brain in a certain way. What do you think?
I mean, I think that's a really commendable, and I say good luck on that journey. Thank I can't you. Wait for you to report back.
Yes. And next time I take one of my walks, I will be fully erect and thinking about the similarities between tech and academia.
I mean,
for
me,
having sex is an errand.
Oh, shit.
He went there.
It's classic Jeremy was surrounded by
April. Come on. This guy set
me up. You set me up for that. I had
walks
to.
In,
I
he's
had
like,
to.
All right, I guess we have to do this again. All the girls are like, Daddy, who's gay?
Oh my God. Should we end this episode?
Yeah, we have to. In fact, because our next guest is waiting to come on.
Well, guys, this has been an experience. I think you have pushed the limits of what this podcast can be. And to that, I say hats off to you.
Agreed. Push the limits, but also made it even more limited in some ways.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know who I am anymore, but
me too.
I think that can be powerful.
But I also have never felt more secure in my identity.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Our final segment is called Shoutouts.
Oh, I forgot we had a final segment.
Something tells me it might take a very long time. In this segment, this is back before our podcast became all about being conceptual and it was simply about analyzing straight culture. We thought the shout out, the radio shout out, think of a TRL shout out, think of a Z100 shout out, was one of the pillars of straight culture. So we thought we would end each episode with a shout out to your boys back home. Sam, do you have one?
Yeah, I do.
Right. Whenever you're ready.
What's up, listeners? I just want to give a huge shout out to the RuPaul's Drag Race reunion episode. That was the longest episode of television I have ever watched. It was so boring and undynamic, and I couldn't care less. It was a full 2 hours of my life wasted. I think it was maybe only an hour and a half, except that the thing that I recorded it on kept messing up, so I had to keep rewinding and fast forwarding, and so it took a cool 2 hours. I did not finish it because I had to record this podcast today, and in many ways that saved me. So whatever happened in the last 10 minutes of RuPaul's Drag Race reunion, I don't know, but I bet it was boring. Woo!
God, what a truly 180 in terms of tone and topics.
Yeah.
To go from fully conceptual to talking about RuPaul's Drag Race.
And can I say,
sure.
I could feel us hiding our homosexuality while we had these two guys on here. And so I said, you know what? We are just gay guys still. And just because we have these hilarious comedian hands on here doesn't mean we aren't still gay guys that listen to Lady Gaga and watch fucking Drag Race. So get over it. We have a different frame of reference than you. That's fine.
Wow. So you actually are doing activism.
This is activism.
Interesting.
Jeremy's pretty... I feel like Jeremy's pretty anti that.
No. No, I... This whole time I was like, look, we got to talk about art pop. Mm-hmm. And...
Even the way you said that sounded homophobic.
I know, it was hateful.
I'm so sorry. I didn't like that.
I didn't.
And I like when Lady Gaga wore the meat dress.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Jeremy, we all did.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
And I just, I love all the stuff you guys love too.
Yeah. Well, you're gay.
Thinking about that. Yeah. Because I'm gay.
Oh, tight.
Wow. Well,
huge congrats.
Congratulations, Jeremy. You're kind of like that guy from The Bachelor that just came out and is getting his own reality show.
You're going to get canceled now. You're going
to. Yeah, now that you're gay, you're definitely like... going to get canceled.
Yeah, they're going to look at you a little bit closer.
Damn.
Yeah. Cool. You'd think it would make you less cancelable, but actually, people really investigate now.
Okay. I guess I'll go.
Please.
What's up, listeners? I want to give a quick shout out to the woman in the book I'm reading.
Woo!
She's this Hungarian woman and has a maid. And I think that's so fucking cool. Because the maid keeps being mean to her, but she keeps wanting to befriend the maid because she has class insecurities. And I think it's so complex to both have a maid and want to be friends with her, even though she's constantly rude to you. And I hope to one day have a maid that constantly is rude to me, but I keep wanting to be friends with her.
Woo!
Woo!
So, Jeremy, do you want to go or Rajat?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll do one too.
Great.
I got a shout out.
Hey, just want to give a shout out to Tavi Gevinson. She made Rookie Mag. She was on TV. She organized a Get Well Soon card drive for Malala.
Oh my God, you're reading Google again. You're doing
the 14-year-old Pakistani girl who's campaigning for education rights.
Oh, we know her.
Well, that was shooting. No, that was
we know. No, don't.
Is this a shout out to Tavi or Malala?
Both.
Hear me.
Just a shout out to Tavi Gevinson and Malala. You guys inspire me every day, and I think all women should have access to high quality education. Rajat, go on.
Rajat, your rebuttal.
All right. Hey, what's up, listeners? I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Malala, who was at one of Jeremy's parties, and she was saying the R word a lot there. I think you go off, queen. You can say you're allowed to say the R word.
No.
All right.
But you're not allowed to say go off queen, Rajat.
Yeah, Rajat. Malala can say whatever she wants. You can't say go off queen.
That's my B.
God, it's like as soon as Jeremy comes out, you immediately try to say go off queen. Just let him have this one thing.
Rajat,
sorry, Jeremy. Sorry.
All right.
It's okay.
Huh. Well,
what do we think?
That's an episode in the can for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sam, you guys I'm have sorry any final I was thoughts? Weird about shout outs before.
Well, no, I guess okay. My final thought is like we came in here and really I think we had a responsibility as the straight show to like not really like mess up the vibe of the show.
Yeah, totally.
And I think we did mess up the vibe.
We
the
messed
show.
It up pretty bad. Yeah.
And so.
So.
We offer our...
No,
we're about to apologize.
Sorry. No, sorry about that.
That's bad.
Yeah.
So we're sorry. We're sorry to the listeners. We're sorry to all the It Girls that we talked about.
I do want to apologize to all It Girls.
I want to give a huge apology to the It Girls.
If you're an It Girl listening to this, I'm really, really sorry.
Malala.
We'll do better. And also get in touch with Jeremy. He's looking for more always.
Yeah, he's all vaxxed up and ready for more It Girls.
Yeah, get your elk ears on.
Yeah, he's vaxxed up, gay, and ready for more It Girls.
Yeah, Jeremy is Jeremy is gay and surrounded by It Girls in his ironic comedy castle.
And he wants to know who is gayer and who is not.
Yeah, he daddy wants... who's gay, and Jeremy says, actually, me.
Wow. Well, let's end it there. Great. Guys, thanks for doing the pod, and have an incredible future.